government seems to think that everything is going to be honky-dory. In fact, what the White House said, first of all, here's what John Kerry said. John Kerry said, I'm convinced that as the forces are redeployed and as the days flow in the weeks ahead, that's going to change, i.e. that they had taken over Ramadi. As overall, they have been driven back. I'm absolutely confident in the days ahead that this will be reversed. The White House called the capture of Ramadi a setback. A setback. They said that they are going to vow to help the Iraqis reclaim it. White House spokesman Eric Schultz said yesterday that the United States is supporting Iraqi forces with precision airstrikes and military advice. He would not comment on whether the victory by the militias would prompt a change in U.S. strategy. Schultz said that the Obama administration knew that the fight against Islamic State would be long and have ebbs and flows. He said the airstrikes would continue until Ramadi is retaken. The airstrikes aren't working. Okay? They've been going on for a while now. This is more evidence that the current strategy against ISIS is an abject failure. So, the question is, what is the U.S. going to do about it? Now look, I said yesterday on the show, there's two things going on here that we have to look at. It is the failure of the Obama administration to pull out forces prematurely because they wanted to get out of Dodge as quickly as possible. Clearly, the fault lies with the Obama administration in not pulling out forces. However, the fault also lies with George W. Bush for going in to Iraq to begin with. Because, as I said yesterday on the show, I just want one guy to say, because, you know, you hear this, and I said this yesterday, you keep hearing this narrative of, well, the world's a better place without Saddam Hussein. No, it's not! Stop saying that. Ask the Christians of Iraq, whether it's a better place. It's not. Ask the Yazidis. Ask most people in Iraq. And they will tell you that it's not better. So, yesterday, I received some emails. One of my listeners in Phoenix said, I'm sorry I had to turn off your show this morning when you supported Chris Wallace's hatchet job on Marco Rubio on the Sunday news program. Your support of Mr. Wallace was uncalled for. Mr. Rubio answered the question in both ways that Mr. Wallace asked. This is nothing less than a liberal type of attack. Even if you don't like Mr. Rubio, you should not let your dislike show through during your commentary. Now, it's not that I support Chris Wallace and the question. What I was commenting on was this little nugget, which was Marco Rubio saying that the world is a better place. The listener makes a valid point about Chris Wallace going after Rubio. Because really, when you think about it, and I thought about this, nobody's asking the question to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's the only one voted for it. So really, these media questions are stupid. Because when you think about it, Jeb Bush, he didn't vote for the war. Marco Rubio didn't vote for the war. Hillary Clinton's the only one that voted for it. But she's not taking questions. And my only point was that to say that the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein, I think is, you could argue that it's not. And the fault lies with not just Obama, with George W. Bush as well for going in there to begin with. And that was exactly my point. We've got Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News out of Washington, D.C. Ellen, how are you?
I am doing all right. And, you know, I know you're on Hillary Clinton, but no, those two didn't vote for the war, but they didn't have an opportunity to vote for the war.
Correct, correct. But, you know, look, that being said, I think actually, I think that Hillary's strategy of not talking to the press is actually smart. Like, why should she?
Well, I mean, she's going to get the nomination.
Exactly. She's right. Exactly. So why should she talk to the press?
And she's going to watch while the Republicans eat up each other. You know,
you're
I'm
right.
Just talking to Blanquita Cullum. As you know, we are roommates together here in Washington, D.C. And one of the things that we were both talking about is all the numbers of Republicans running for president. Why isn't there party discipline? If Haley Barbour, who I love and adore, was still head of the Republican Party, he would have called up these guys and basically said, you are not running. And he would have picked, you know, maybe 3 to 5 of these people who he actually thought had a chance, and that's who he would have promoted, and that's who, even though head of the party is not supposed to interfere in these basic elections, they always do.
Of course they do.
And where is the party discipline?
Look, the I don't know which party's worse, the GOP or the Democrat Party. They're both just in a shambles. And, of course, Lindsey Graham now has announced that he's going to run. Lindsey Graham, of all people. He had Rick Santorum in Iowa. Why is Rick Santorum running? I mean,
he's not going to win.
Of course not. He's
you know,
not
but a lot of these guys know they're not going to win, but it improves their standing.
Sure.
In terms of speaking engagements, it improves their standing in terms of perhaps a television contract. So they're not running for president; they're running to improve their resume.
Huckabee, he's another one that has no chance. Ben Carson. Carly Fiorina. I like Carly Fiorina, and I like Ben Carson. I like their message, but they have no chance of winning whatsoever.
I actually interviewed Carly Fiorina at the last Republican convention, and you would not like her if you interviewed her, and you should ask if she wants an interview from you.
I
probably do it.
I actually talked to her. I met her at CPAC, and I was impressed by some
really?
Of her. Yeah,
well,
when
I interviewed her, it was just message. You never got off message. Didn't have any, you know, I might as well have taped her, and that would have been that.
Well, look, that's all politicians. They're always on message. What politician is not on message?
Sometimes you get a bit of humanness from them.
Speaking about message, the administration claims about Ramadi are delusional, to say the least. The fact that they aren't willing to accept what's going on in Ramadi, and they're just going to, they say it's a setback. Setbacks. This isn't a setback. It's a major defeat for Iraq. And so now we are effectively embroiled in a sectarian war within Iraq. Okay. What are we going to do now? Like, are we going to now support the Iranian militias?
Well, the fact is that, you know, was it Colin Powell that says if you break it, it's yours? And the fact is we broke Iraq. And now it is ours. Now ISIS has come in. What do we do about it?
Well, you know, it's tough because, you know, you really have to send in ground troops. And I'm talking, you know, 100,000 troops in there. And do we have the stomach for it? And should we even do it? I mean, shouldn't we just let them fight it out themselves? But then the problem is that it spills over. You know, you're absolutely right. And, you know, you've got people that are blaming, you know, Mr. Obama. They're blaming President Bush. I frankly think that it's the fault of both presidents, and I think history will show that it's the fault of both administrations, for the fact that they pulled out forces and the fact that we went in there to begin with.
Well, this is kind of like Vietnam.
Yeah.
Where,
oh, yeah.
You know, Eisenhower started a little bit, Kennedy continued it, but the real blame went to Johnson, and maybe it shouldn't have.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is in a way worse than Vietnam, because you've got a belief here. You got people that are motivated by religion, and I think that it's a broader question and a broader conflict for the world. Moreover, all right, Alan, I got to run, but
thanks
for coming on the show. I appreciate it. All right, we'll be right back.
Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion.
Go. Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Get the latest in real estate news from across the valley.
Shaken, not stirred, with a dash of anything goes.
It's all on The Real Estate Show featuring the Elton Brothers on KFNX.
Wednesdays at noon.
Get your free Growth to Freedom gift package now. Includes two books, audio, and video program to transform your life, business, and relationships. Call now at 602-246-3389. That's 602-246-3389. Receive your free gift package for greater confidence, clarity, and capabilities now. That's 602-246-3389. Or go to growthtofreedom.com/gift. That's growthtofreedom.com/gift.
That make you go,
Look, you hear about it every day from Republicans and Democrats and everyone else who wants to tell you all the reasons why they're right and everyone else is wrong. If you've had enough, you're not alone. You deserve a show that offers unbiased truth and unfiltered debate. So tune in to Raging Sanity Radio with Will Hubbard and Alan Harvey, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back to the show. I got another email from a listener yesterday, and listener says, ISIS today is no different from the Nazis of yesteryear. Although their objective is different, their method is the same, conquer and destroy. They are. They're evil, but I think actually they're worse, and I'll tell you why. The Nazis were godless men. These guys, they're motivated by a belief. They're motivated by Islam. I think that makes them far more dangerous, frankly, than the Nazis. And like the Nazis, they are evil, and they don't care about borders. And I think it's going to take us a whole lot longer to destroy ISIS. And it's just a mess. And I think that, and unfortunately, I have to go back to, you know, what I said, which was, and this is why, you know, this is why I talked about Marco Rubio yesterday. But you can talk, this is all the Republican candidates that are saying the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein. Again, I don't think it is. I think that the world actually, you could make the argument that Saddam Hussein kind of kept everything in check. You've got the, I've got the, there are two stories right now in the Wall Street Journal. Militias flood to Iraqi city after military fails to drive Islamic State from Ramadi. Shiite forces are moving in, raising tensions. We now have a sectarian civil war brewing that the United States is involved in, whether you like it or not. And then there's another story. This is the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Islamic State sends fighters to Libya. That's another failed U.S. policy. Remember we had to get rid of Gaddafi? And as you said yesterday, Steve, Gaddafi foretold this. Same with Saddam Hussein. They all knew that. See, they understood it. Again, it's our Western hubris that constantly has to meddle. And this is a big deal. You had, before you had the city of Mosul fell last year. Now you've got Ramadi. It's just a question of time before they start pushing into Baghdad. And again, Baghdad, the Iranians are not going to allow that because of the Shiite population. We've got Shiites and Sunnis. And once again, the United States, the reason why we've got this, and you know, Ellen Ratner made a good point. You know, she referenced Colin Powell. If you broke it, you fix it. It's true. We broke Iran. I mean, I'm sorry, Iraq. We broke it. And it's the fault of two administrations. So look, if you're going to criticize Barack Obama, I'm fine with that. And I agree. Because remember, Obama, when he won the election, Iraq was not in the place it's at now. Okay? But he had to get out of Dodge, take all the troops out, and go home because he wanted that to be his legacy.
Well, and now he has another legacy.
Exactly. Now he has another legacy. But let's not let George W. Bush off the hook here. Because the fact is that, again, we meddled. And here's another point I want to make. You know, again, I keep hearing this narrative of, well, the world's a better place without Saddam Hussein. Are we supposed to go in and get rid of every despot, every dictator in the world? Is that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to get rid of, think about that for a minute. So we got to go down to Central and South America, get rid of all those guys. Africa, the Middle East, Russia. Is that our job? I mean, when you think about it, what was Saddam Hussein doing? Huh? What was he doing? I mean, think about it for a minute.
Using gas on the Kurds.
Okay. So what do you think North Korea is doing? Oh, they're starving their people. So should we go in and invade North Korea? I'm just posing the question here. I mean,
Ask the politicians. They're always the one that get us involved.
So that's my point, is that why did we go in there in the first place? Did it have to do with 9/11 somehow? Somehow it was. Remember that narrative? That it was about 9/11 somehow? So what did Saddam Hussein have to do with 9/11? Didn't we find Bin Laden in Pakistan? And that whole thing is, you know, dubious.
I think Eisenhower said it best, beware the military-industrial complex.
Of course. But, again, why are we involved? We're constantly involved in these things. Vietnam. How'd that work out? We lost a lot of men. Treasure. The blood of many young men and women. Same with what happened with Iraq. What did we accomplish in Iraq? I just want to know what did we accomplish in Iraq? Did we accomplish anything in Iraq? It's worse now. And I would argue that we were better off with Saddam Hussein. I know that's not a popular thing to say, especially with the current crop of Republicans, because they'll all tell you, well, the world's a better place without Saddam Hussein. I mean, again, are we supposed to go in and get rid of every single dictator in the world? I think not. The only one that's come close to saying that and articulating it is Rand Paul. But Rand Paul's even got to, like, you know, tap dance around. And it's gotten to the point where nobody smart anymore goes into politics. It's like all a bunch of dummies. They're going into politics. So our choice is either dumb or dumber. That's our choices.
You know, your comment about the Nazis and World War II, I think back then we had a reason, we had the spine to get the job done, and we had leadership to make it happen. We have none of that now.
Right. Well, and not only that, look what was happening during World War II. We were attacked by Japan. They bombed Pearl Harbor. And they were going buck wild all over the Pacific Rim, taking islands, taking the Philippines, just to mention one. And the Nazis they had taken Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, France. They were bombing England. I mean, what were we to do? But now, look, we started this. We started this, and we haven't finished. Bush started it, should have never done that. And then Obama made it worse by pulling out the troops. So there's plenty of blame to go around. And they're both to blame. So I don't want to hear, you know, Republicans say, well, it's all Obama's fault. And then I don't want to hear Democrats say, well, it's all George W. Bush's fault. No, it's both administrations' fault. For number one, George Bush should have never gone in there. Never gone in there. It's a complete waste of time and money. I mean, just look at if you look at the pictures of Ramadi, and you look at all the U.S. equipment left behind. Yeah, it's literally trillions of dollars that we spent on what? On what? On nothing. And then you want to talk about building infrastructure and investment in the American cities and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm all for it. But again, is the world a better place without Saddam Hussein? No. I'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history. touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Blaze Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky. Some news outlets in the mainstream media ignoring the latest terrorism story, ISIS taking control of Ramadi, instead finding time in the broadcast to cover President Obama taking to Twitter and his back-and-forth tweets with former President Clinton. As for the terrorist takeover, the White House and State Department simply calling it a setback. Arizona Senator Republican John McCain reacting on Fox News.
This is a failure of a policy which is not enough of everything. The best way to do airstrikes is to have afford air controllers on the ground. We don't.
ABC still standing by George Stephanopoulos, and the reason may be money. The New York Post reveals the network has $100 million on the line. A source telling the paper, Stephanopoulos just resigned last year for a reported $105 million to be exact. Conflict of interest in play as the anchorman covering the 2016 campaign, yet donating $75,000 to the Clinton Foundation. He's apologized three times. Turning now to politics in 2016, Hillary Clinton's emails back in the news, but you won't be able to read any of them until next year. Here's the Blaze Radio's Greg Moore.
Hillary Clinton's emails will not see the light of day until next year. Court documents revealing the State Department proposing a January 15th deadline to release about 55,000 emails from Clinton's term as Secretary of State. That's just 2 weeks before the Iowa caucus is set to take place. I'm Greg Moore, The Blaze News.
And your look now at Wall Street this Tuesday morning. Here's The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
Apple shares are up nearly 1.5% after billionaire investor Carl Icahn says the stock is dramatically undervalued. Both the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 hit record highs. When the market opens Tuesday, the Dow is up 26 points, the S&P 500 rises 6, the Nasdaq adding 30 points. I'm Tom Peace, The Blaze News.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio, another battle between the state school superintendent and the state board of education. The board telling Diane Douglas to quit blocking investigators' access to teacher files or be sued. This after Douglas sued the board, which questions her authority over them.
Arizona revised statute clearly defines the duties and responsibilities of the superintendent. We tried to resolve it other ways, and now it's time for the courts to decide.
Board President Greg Miller calling the legal action a distraction. Douglas threatening to fire board members who moved their offices to the Capitol last week. A homemade pipe bomb is found along Highway 68 near Golden Valley in Mojave County. Kingman police detonated it.
Their bomb squad utilized a robot to remove the item. The item was moved to a safe location in the area where the device was destroyed.
Chris Carter with the sheriff's office says it looks like the device had been there a while. Phoenix police say a man who threatened them with a knife overnight has been shot and wounded by officers. The man hospitalized and likely to survive. Geico weather below normal temperatures continuing. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic of service of Burns Pest Elimination. Couple things to share with you, gang. We do have some delays eastbound I-10 between 83rd and 43rd Avenue. Out in Mesa, we have an accident blocking the right two lanes. That's southbound 202 at Guadalupe. When you don't call Burns Pest Elimination, giant mutant scorpions will eat your puppy. Burns will eliminate your scorpions at half the price. Visit BurnsPestElimination.com.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center for the rest of the morning, clear skies, a low near 58, sunny and a high near 79 tonight. Clear skies, a low near 58, sunny and a high near 84 on Wednesday. Mostly clear Wednesday night with a low near 61, mostly sunny with a high near 82 on Thursday. I'm Ron Pritchard from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we are at 66 degrees under clear skies. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. More Edward Woodson comes your way on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Uh-oh. Newly released documents indicate that Hillary Clinton's claim about her emails was not true. Huh.
Say it ain't so.
Emails published by the New York Times, member of the vast right-wing conspiracy, the New York Times, on Monday indicate that Hillary Clinton used more than one private email address during her time as Secretary of State, contradicting previous claims from the Democrat presidential contender's office. Multiple emails show Clinton used an account hrod17@clintonemail.com while serving in the Obama administration as Secretary of State. Clinton's attorney, David Kendall, had previously told Representative Trey Gowdy that particular address had not existed during Secretary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. Another statement from Clinton's office said she only used one address during her time as Secretary of State. Secretary Clinton used one email account during her tenure at State, with the exception of her first weeks in office, while transitioning from an email account she had previously used. In March of 2013, Gawker published the email address she used while secretary, and so she had to change the address on her account. Clinton served as Secretary of State from January 2009 to February 2013. The email sent with the hrod17@clintonemail.com were sent in 2011 and 2013, according to documents released by the Times. This is the best part. A representative for Clinton's office did not immediately respond to a request for a comment.
Gee, I wonder what would happen to you or I if we lied to Congress.
First of all, and I've said this before, if you work for a corporation and you use a different email account, they fire you. They straight up fire you. But apparently nothing is going to happen. And, oh, yeah, they have said that they are going to release, the State Department said yesterday they're going to release her emails, the 55,000 emails, but not until January of 2016. That's when they're going to release them, which will be right smack dab in the middle of this campaign. And I guarantee you that the emails will show nothing, because those are the emails that she released. Think about that for a minute. I want to see the emails that she didn't release. I mean, it's no big deal that they're going to release the emails that she released, the 55,000 emails that she edited and decided to release to the State Department. It's the other emails. That's what we want to see, the other emails. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, Mark Lamont Hill,
was had it out with Blaze TV's Tara Settmeyer. And she asked him what were some of the accomplishments of Hillary. Listen to this.
That she's not her husband. She's not the consummate politician, campaigner, retail politics, you know, warm and fuzzy person that makes people go, I really enjoy being around her and she makes me feel as though she's listening to me and I can relate. That is not her strong point. Her strong point is that her last name is Clinton and that she has a husband that people adore and that she's a woman. This is the historic part. Oh, come on.
That's
we all
sexist.
Know it's true, which is why
sexist.
They are so
that's
carefully managing her campaign.
Sexist.
Listen, why do you think she drove to Iowa in a Scooby-Doo van and they tried to make her go to Chipotle to look like a normal person? I mean, if you have to take that
well,
kind of effort, make
hungry.
That kind of effort.
All politicians
like a,
do that, though.
Yes, but
not
for her,
Hillary Clinton.
For her, it's so much more of.
So, if you can see this video, Carol O'Connor, I mean, Carol Costello, she just can't believe it that anyone would say anything about Hillary. It's amazing how they're just so in for Hillary. Anyway, listen.
A challenge. And when you are making $25 million between you and your husband in the last year and a half on speeches, which is just came out over the weekend, and you're trying to say you're a champion of the middle class, but yet you fly all over the country and the world in private jets, and but I'm a champion of the middle class, that is something that's very difficult to convey to voters one-on-one, particularly in a place like Iowa.
Well,
that's
a few
true,
things.
Mark. Nobody's challenging her, right? So.
Well. People are challenging her. Bernie Sanders just made it really about. Bernie Sanders just made a really important point this weekend about TPP and Hillary Clinton's need to speak out about it. We also expect Martin O'Malley to come out and really make a serious challenge in terms of executive experience. I think there are legitimate things that can be done on the left and the right to challenge Hillary Clinton, as should happen on both sides of the aisle. I reject completely the idea that Hillary Clinton has nothing going for her but her last name and her husband. I think that is entirely sexist. Now let me.
Okay, it's, by the way, it's not just her last name. She also has a vagina, okay? Let's not forget that.
Be clear.
Is it?
There are plenty.
What does she accomplish, Mark? Come on, what
does
she accomplish
as
Secretary of State?
At what level?
Secretary of State,
what has she accomplished?
Opening up Myanmar, resetting Russia, having some
out?
Of the most.
You've heard this, too, by the way, for a while now. Opening up Myanmar, resetting Russia. Those are her accomplishments as Secretary of State. Would you agree? Opening up Myanmar was a major accomplishment. Opening up Myanmar.
I didn't even know where that is on the globe.
It's actually, it used to be called Burma. It's one of the islands that the Japanese took over. Opening up Myanmar. Okay. You're going to hear that, by the way. That's what the left says, because that's the only thing they have. That's the only accomplishment she has. Besides, of course, being married to Bill Clinton. That's sexist. It's sexist. You know what I think is sexist? I think it's sexist that that people have concluded, and I think that the Democrats have concluded, and Hillary Clinton has concluded, I think it's sexist to believe that women will only vote for Hillary because she has a vagina. Seriously. I think that's sexist. But we can't say that. And then the resetting of Russia. The resetting of Russia. Really?
Yeah, that's worked out really well.
The resetting of Russia. Remember she had the little button that she gave him? So they alluded to a commercial in America. Imagine what the Russian foreign minister must have thought when he got that. You think... By the way, you think he's seen the commercial? I don't even think so. And they probably thought, like, what? This is a joke. So, resetting Russia and opening up Myanmar. okay?
Don't forget about the frequent flyer miles.
Frequent flyer miles, and here's some more. Here's some more of her accomplishments. This is Mark Lamont Hill. Listen.
Having some of the most important, I think, sanctions intensified on Iran that we've seen in decades. I think all of those things are things that Secretary of State has done, that this Secretary of State has done, that has been effective. Also, in the Senate, she has authored or co-authored dozens of bills. She wrote an important piece of legislation for No Child Left Behind. The part that's actually good, which is not much, she had a significant part in authoring. She's done significant work around women's protection, around protection of children, etc. So to say that the Secretary of State and a former senator has nothing going for her but her last name, to me, reeks of sexism. And to say that she can't champion the middle class because she's rich. Look, Hillary Clinton's policy.
Protection of women. And, of course, children. The children. Protection of women. Yet she takes money from countries like Saudi Arabia that don't even let women drive. Women are treated as second class citizens. Come on, Mark Lamont Hill. That's the best you could come up with. She opened up Myanmar, though, Steve. She reset Russia. They're going to have a hard time selling that, man. But, you know, nobody even knows where Myanmar is. Or Burma, for that matter. Or why that's an accomplishment, frankly. Why is that even an accomplishment? I don't get it. I'm missing something. Clearly, I don't know what's going on. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
They're going after Hillary Clinton because they know she's exciting the public.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh, yeah. I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Do you know what the number one killer in this country is? No, it's not heart disease or diabetes or even cancer. The number one killer is misinformation. The work that we do at the Wellbeing Holistic Pharmacy and Healing Center is to help you truly understand the ramifications of your decisions. Please visit wellbeinggps.com to learn more about how your body works and the proper ways to avoid disease and age more gracefully. Wellbeinggps.com, your navigation tool to being well.
And now, an ode to the millennial.
Hey, Dad, what's for breakfast?
I'll tell you what's for breakfast. Time for you to get your own kitchen and make your own breakfast in your own home.
How would I do that?
You call the Elton Brothers. Here's their number.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318. Or email eltonbrothers@cox.net.
Does that mean I don't get breakfast?
I'll get you a home warranty instead from the Elton Brothers.
Thanks, Dad.
EltonBrothers.com with Realty One Group.
Hi, my name is Faith. I have been in pain for 7 years. It started with a work-related injury, and I ended up with a herniated disc and nerve damage. I have been in pain for 7 years and tried many drugs and treatments. I have been taking morphine, Percodan, Percocet, hydrocodone, and seeing chiropractors, physical therapists, and medical doctors. Some things helped me for a while, but nothing brought lasting relief. Finally, I was treated by the clinic, incredibly pain-free, in Scottsdale. And I am so pleased with the results. I'm now able to do the things I want to do without feeling drugged. My back feels so much better, and I'm so thankful for Incredibly Pain-Free.
Incredibly Pain-Free. Your evaluation is free. Your consultation is free. And your first treatment is free. So to start your pain-free journey, call Incredibly Pain-Free at 480-535-8808. That's 480-535-8808. Start your pain-free journey, 535-8808.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
I'm too hot. Caught a police and a fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band about that front, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
So, I just have one question, Steve. You and I just talked about this at the break. How did she open up Myanmar?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean, she opened up Myanmar? Opened her up to what? To trade, voting, what did she open it up to? I love that, because you can just kind of say that. People are like, oh, yeah, she opened up Myanmar. Uh-huh, sure. Look, people don't even know where Myanmar is, or what even that means, opening up to Myanmar. I have no idea what that means. So we compiled a little audio of the voting public, and this is your voting public, and these are the people that are going to vote for Hillary. And by the way, I guarantee you not one of them could find Myanmar on a map or even tell you what opening up Myanmar means. Now, listen up.
Is it Hillary Clinton running for president? What is it about her conservative values that you agree with?
Probably none. Is she a Republican?
Yeah. Do you support Hillary Clinton?
Not really. I'm more of a, I'm a Democrat, so.
So, obviously, Hillary Clinton... If Hillary Clinton were a Democrat, would you maybe support her then?
Probably.
Is it her pro-life stance?
Yeah.
Just that she's a woman is really
she's
all that
a woman.
We, all that
we need women in the
That's
world,
right.
You know?
Who cares what her policies
exactly.
are, right? Okay. Well, thank you.
But I think it'll be a great thing for us as women, you know, because we have much to say, and our voice needs to be as heard as well, and we're very compassionate about the country as well, too.
Which conservative values of hers you support for her to be put into the White House?
I haven't really followed up on her a lot, to be honest.
But she would be the best candidate, obviously.
Yeah.
Just because she's a woman, we need a change.
Yeah.
Do you like that Hillary Clinton is very transparent, and she actually released all her emails to Congress so they could see what she did as Secretary of State?
Yeah, I think that shows how much dedication she has for her work. I think that's amazing.
I really do. I mean, she's being transparent in a lot of areas, so, I mean, it's like she has nothing to hide, you know, so, I mean, I agree with what she's doing.
And everyone knows that communication is the key to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Proper right. communication and the back and forth, it gets a lot of things done. Communication is the key.
Yeah, if you have nothing to hide and you're doing everything right, you know, of course it makes perfect sense.
Just that she's truthful, you know?
Very honest.
Honest, yes.
Full transparency with the emails, servers.
Yeah.
She also made a very strong stance saying she's not going to take any money from any foreign government to influence her political decision. Do you think that's good?
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's good because they wouldn't have much control over her, you know, in the decision she made.
Have you heard the news of Margaret Sanger, this very strong female, becoming her vice presidential candidate?
I have. Yes, I have.
What do you think about these two strong women running for the 2016 election?
I say more power to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Do you like the pro-life stance that they both have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So probably Sanger and Hillary.
Well, it is. Unfortunately, there are certain issues. Women's rights are very important to me.
Yeah.
And usually the GOP doesn't quite go that way.
Yeah, she's cool.
is cool.
Yeah, I like it very much.
So are you going to be voting Hillary Clinton and Margaret Sanger in 2016?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm going to be voting.
Hillary Clinton, as you probably saw, has chosen Jackie Kennedy Onassis to run as her VP for vice president. Is that a good choice for President Hillary?
Yes.
Jackie Kennedy Onassis as her vice president?
Yeah.
The two of them have some pretty good insight into the political world and could help the New World Order, I guess?
Yeah, I agree.
How do you feel about Hillary Clinton's support of Edward Snowden? Pretty good, kind gesture on her part, wouldn't you agree?
She's taking a stand. She isn't sitting on the fence.
Some other politicians, obviously,
correct,
have called Edward Snowden a traitor. Hillary Clinton, very brave to call him an American hero. That's pretty powerful stance, wouldn't you agree?
Yes. You can't call somebody a traitor because they got a political view.
Yeah.
All right.
We really don't watch a lot
That's
of TV.
Okay.
We are we stay busy. So we are here for a vacation. Okay. So.
But you're voting for Hillary.
We are voting for Hillary.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Definitely. Beautiful. I've never been political. I'm not really religious.
Who cares who runs America these
yeah.
days, right?
Yeah, it's just...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it just...
Doesn't matter. Okay.
And there you have it. That's your voting public. You know? You know what's always amazing about all these videos... You know, that like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel does and all these people do. It's like people will just say anything. They'll say anything to just get on camera. It always amazes me. That part of it always amazes me. They'll just say anything.
Not a one of them do anything.
And they'll agree to anything. You know what I mean? Just to be on camera. Do you support the killing of baby seals? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know that Hillary Clinton supports the killing of baby seals. Are you going to vote for her? Oh, yeah, absolutely, because we need a woman president. They have no idea. They literally have no idea what's going on. And see, that's the problem. And it comes down to, and I said this last election, it's like the American Idol phenomenon of American politics, because that's all it's become. And Fox announced that they are canceling American Idol. Next year will be the last year, mercifully, that they're going to get rid of American Idol. But the process lives on. The American electoral process lives on as American Idol, because that's what it's become now. It's become this popularity contest. It's become if you can put your candidate out there and paint a scenario, a picture of your candidate.
I'm sorry, I'm not a real political animal type, but I don't think in my lifetime I've seen a more stupid voting populace.
It is amazing because in the era, in the time of smartphones, people have become more stupid. That's just the reality. All right, we are out of time for the day, but check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. You can go listen to the past shows. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to give you your fair share of the truth, because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
What difference at this point does it make?
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
Imus in the morning. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
If you call yourself a conservative, why be here if you're not going to fight? And people say, well, people don't want people fighting. People want everyone to get along, Laura. They want bipartisan agreement, Laura. This is what they want, Laura. No, I think people don't really care about bipartisan agreement. We had a lot of bipartisan agreement in the past. Didn't work out for the people so well. What this election in November showed everybody is that the people are fed up.
Catch the Laura Ingraham Show Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on KFNX.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation,
weather. This is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of astronomy. A galaxy cloud to collide with the Milky Way? That's right. Get set for the so-called Smith Cloud, a cloud of interstellar hydrogen to collide with the Milky Way galaxy in 20 to 40 million years. This 11,000 light-year long and 2,500 light-year wide cloud, right now, this particular cloud is feeling the Milky Way's gravity and may be destroyed before it hits us, but that's a long way off. The collision, an interesting story in astronomy, may actually spark star formation, the stuff of how stars and all of us are created. Interesting stuff from the realm of astronomy. Above all, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, the home of the Michael Savage Show. KFNX News Time.